the whole 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Field Yates, Mike Clay, Daniel Dopp, and Stefania Bell here with you on Thursday, October 15th. I stink at dates and times and 15th, days.
Confirmed.
It's the 15th, which means that we are going to spend the majority of today's show previewing the much anticipated. Wait, who's playing tonight?
Jets and Giants, probably, because we haven't heard much about it. I don't know.
Wow.
Wow, Mike.
Throwing shade at two teams that aren't even playing tonight.
I was going to say, like, you could have just said.
I mean, it was
Rays and Astros. Dodgers and Braves, game four, after the Dodgers put up a very. I mean, the Dodgers offense is about as good as the Jets or Giants right now. 15 runs last night. That was impressive. Exactly. We have a big show today, and we're going to actually get you updates on a bunch of news, a COVID-19 related update, unfortunately. Mike's shadow report, of course, as we do it every Thursday, wide receiver, cornerback matchups. Plus, we'll pick Mike's brain a little bit more on some rankings for week six. And with no game tonight, of course, we'll bypass our normal Thursday night football preview. My guess is that this is the last time we will run into a no Thursday night game situation until the conclusion of the season when the NFL bypasses a Thursday night game in week 17 as teams get ready for the playoffs. But let's get right into some news that actually is not from the NFL, but from ESPN. As many of you have been asking throughout the first 6 weeks of this NFL season about potential alterations to your fantasy leagues because of all the COVID-19 related, not injuries, but instances where a player is no longer available for you on your roster. And let's just peel the curtain back a little bit and just say that, like, in the same way that the NBA and the NHL and the MLB and the NWSL and the MLS and all the leagues that played before the NFL played figured things out on the fly, the NFL is figuring things out on the fly. And that means, in some ways, we are here at ESPN Fantasy as well. And initially, our stance was that once you set a number of spots on your bench or IR spots in your league at the beginning of the season, that would be how it would stay for the rest of the season. As you know, recently we announced that if a player had been placed on, if a team had its second bye week added. So like if a bye week was added that was not part of their previously scheduled or their rescheduled bye week, you'd have the opportunity to move players who were on that team, and we were talking about this in relation to the Titans, into an IR slot on your roster. Then we told you you could add extra IR slots. Well, now we have even more flexibility available for you. As leagues that have a league manager, which I believe composes about 95% of leagues on ESPN.com, now have the ability to add bench spots. You can only add bench spots and IR slots, so you can't like create an additional wide receiver spot in your lineups. If you have been starting two wide receivers, two running backs, and a flex, it's going to remain that way for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I have some teams with a lot of good receivers. I was hoping to do that, just kind of sneak in another wide receiver slot. Can't do it, though.
Totally agree on that.
I've already filed my complaints, of course.
But what you can do is you can now add bench spots. But a couple of things to mention here. Once you decide that you're adding bench spots, and if up to four in total, is that what we decided?
Right.
Up to four bench slots total?
Yeah. Actually, no. Bench should be more. IR is four.
IR is four. But if you add bench slots, the concession is that once you add them, you can't take them away. So let's say that you add...
Don't make a mistake.
Right. If you add three bench spots, and then all of a sudden the NFL goes through a two-month period with zero COVID-related issues, as unlikely as that seems, and you say, oh, man, like, no one's even available on the waiver wire anymore. I wish I had some flexibility to add players. Once you have made your decision, you cannot turn back. So you can't remove bench spots. You can only add them. So let's make sure that you are very communicative to your league if you add bench spots, or maybe even more accurately, if you're going to do this, maybe poll your league before you do it. Make sure that the league is on board, whether that's a simple majority or whether that is a unanimous vote. If you want to add bench spots, it is now available for leagues that have a league manager tool.
The one thing I want to say about that, are there any updates that you have? Because for me, I want to think about the idea of if I'm a league manager, right, and I decide today that I'm going to add bench spots.
Yep.
Now, I have a bunch of bench spots across all my league, and everybody that's on the waiver wire is now a free agent, and it becomes like this first come, first serve, like Wild West, you know, free for all. So do you guys have any suggestions or strategy on how league managers decide that, like, when they roll this out, do you wait until the game's, you know, lock on Sunday so that maybe you are part of waivers, or do you implement a new waiver period?
That's the workaround that I think that ESPN is recommending if you want to avoid that free-for-all, is that what ESPN is suggesting is that once games lock at 1 p.m. on Sunday, as Daniel mentioned, at that point you implement these additional bench spots, because then all those bench spots will be filled by the customary waiver process, so the teams that are really struggling will have priority. Mike, you look like you're ready to jump
in.
Yeah,
I just want to say sometimes it depends on your league settings, right? Because sometimes the ones will lock and then the fours don't lock until later. So the ones could start, you can add the roster spots, and then suddenly you could start adding 4 o'clock and Sunday night and Monday night players. So
maybe
that
do
mind.
It. Maybe what you do,
maybe do a Monday.
I was say,
night,
maybe Monday Monday night. So maybe that's the best workaround. Is this happens at 8:37 p.m. Eastern time on Monday, 15 minutes after the game has kicked off, which will be played between the Cowboys and the Cardinals. That way, Tuesday will be a great night for the waiver wire. But to Daniel's point, we want to avoid, you know, someone just happens to be on their app faster than somebody else, and next thing you know, they're landing the three best players that are currently available on waivers, and somebody who's a little bit less attentive says, like, I got, you know, the short end of the stick here. So,
or have a speed contest and just say 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I'm adding two spots. Whoever gets them,
I play in way.
You
know what?
Time.
I play in That'd too many fantasy leagues with Adam Schefter. I am never going to race him in terms of typing.
Too. I would. That's bad. I would not want to.
Not a good idea. So, anyways, that's our suggestion. We have heard you. We've been receptive to the feedback that many have suggested, in which they would like additional flexibility. It is a year unlike any other. We get that, and I want to commend our games team because they've been working incredibly hard. It may sound simple to just add bench spots. This is way above my pay grade and certainly way above my intellectual aptitude. I'm just telling you, it's not that simple. They have worked very diligently. So Dan Boehm and his entire team with the games group have worked very hard, and we are appreciative of all of their efforts, and we hope you all feel the same way. Now we have some news that I think tangentially ties to that. As about 45 minutes or so ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that, Adam Schefter reported that the Falcons had a new positive case within their organization. As a result, they have shut down their facility. You're going to hear this phrase all the time. Out of an abundance of caution is what they are saying here. And it is not a player, although the team did add a second player to reserve COVID, or a player to reserve COVID, I should say, yesterday, Marlon Davidson, their second round pick out of Auburn. So the Falcons facility is shut down today. As of right now, and we're having this conversation just for context at 10:08 Eastern time on Thursday morning, it sounds, Mike, like we're going to be okay here. But my lesson, if I were to sort of share one right now, and I don't mean to sound grave or super pessimistic when I say this, I think my lesson would be every week I am expecting every game to possibly be delayed. And I'm not counting on it, but just from a roster construction standpoint, I am thinking about the possibility that in a week when the Saints are playing, Alvin Kamara is the best player in fantasy football right now, I need to prepare for the possibility that something happens. Again, I don't want to come across as like a wet blanket or the bearer of bad news, but if we've learned anything so far this season, it is preparing for additional flexibility, and those three bench spots or four bench spots you could be adding certainly help make that viable.
You're exactly right, and I think you mentioned this week's Monday night game, right? That'd be an excellent example. Let's say you have Ezekiel Elliott or anyone from that game, obviously. You just have to think that it's possible there's a positive test on Monday for one of those teams, and the game gets delayed or is pushed out of the week completely. It's absolutely a possibility. We would obviously hope not to see that, but you should need to be prepared for that. And maybe that's a tiebreaker for you if you're deciding on a Michael Gallup or someone, a wide receiver that plays on Sunday. Maybe that breaks the tie for you. Zeke, obviously, you're not going to put on your bench, but some other guys, maybe you would.
Might be one more, just thinking about this out loud here. You know, Matthew's been talking about the suggestion that's been shared frequently on social media where there have been some games that have been in peril that have been moved to Monday night, like the Chiefs-Patriots game, and then this past week, the Bills-Titans game, and maybe Sunday morning, you can send a recommendation of, if the Titans don't play, rather than Derrick Henry, I want, you know, insert this running back as my, I want David Montgomery as my fill-in running back for Derrick Henry if the Titans game isn't played. I actually think that might be a pretty reasonable strategy to employ every Sunday, specific to the Monday night games.
Right.
Because that's the only game that, even if there is a minimal, I'm talking about a 1% chance that the game is not played, might be a not a bad idea as an insurance policy. So, like, you know, Sunday morning, you might be soliciting suggestions or soliciting replacements from your league for Ezekiel Elliott and Kyler Murray and CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and DeAndre Hopkins and all the stars that are playing in that Cardinals-Cowboys game on Monday. I know that we've been talking a lot about ways to deal with the COVID-19 realities for this season. I don't think it's going to change. I think we all know that we are very much still in the thick of this global pandemic, and the NFL is by no way immune to how the pandemic is impacting all of us. All right, so now let's get to some news.
Yeah.
And we're not quite yet to injury news, although we're going to have Stefania in just a moment, and she will be busy. But Melvin Gordon, the Broncos running back, was cited for a DUI on, this was Tuesday night. So whether it was Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning, somewhat semantics. But the bottom line is that Melvin Gordon was pulled over and charged with a DUI in Denver. He, as a result, was not at practice on Wednesday, and perhaps I'm dot connecting and presuming the two are tied. It was a non-injury related situation for Melvin Gordon, not at practice. The team has released a statement. They're continuing to gather information. Typically, Mike, if a player has a situation comparable to Melvin Gordon's, we have not seen an immediate punishment handed down from the league. It's possible Melvin Gordon is eventually punished by the NFL. It seems, and I want to make sure that I'm clear in saying, like, it seems, it's not a certainty, that if Melvin Gordon's status for week six were up in the air, it would be more a team decision than it would be a league decision.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, they asked Vic Fangio, the head coach, yesterday if he's playing this weekend, and he said, I don't know yet.
Yeah. So he was non-committal. That's right.
Right. Is that what you said? Did you say
no,
that?
No. I did not. No.
All right. So,
no,
you're good. So we don't know, right? Yep. Sometimes they would say, yeah, we're going to let the process play itself out. He's going to play. We obviously don't know. So that being the case, I mean, look, if Gordon suits up, we're going to start him. If he doesn't, Philip Lindsay's off the injury report, right? So he would be the lead back. And you know what's interesting is, and we don't get this opportunity often, is we have some precedent for this backfield, right? Last season, it was Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman as the clear backs, and they both played 16 games. So we have a full season of what essentially to expect. Now, the offensive coordinator was different, but let's take a look at that because, you know, the snaps were almost even. They split those right down the middle in this offense. Lindsay had almost 100 more carries than Freeman. But Royce Freeman ran, I think this would surprise people, 57 more pass routes and had one more target. He was more involved slightly in the passing game. Philip Lindsay was a top 20 fantasy running back last season and was 15th in the league in touches. So I would expect a similar dynamic here, maybe a little more Lindsay in this Pat Shurmur offense than we saw last season. But I have him 24th at New England. If Melvin Gordon doesn't play, I think he's a guy you could put in your flex if he's the starter here.
I don't mean to hijack this show, because we're going to get to Stefania in just a second. I want to ask her about Philip Lindsay and Noah Fant. I just want to pass along a note, and we're down to three teams in a Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes, it sounds like. According to Jeremy Fowler, Le'Veon Bell will either sign with the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins, or the Kansas City Chiefs. That sounds like a decision is imminent there. Might make a little bit of sense in the, first of all, Buffalo dealing with a Zach Moss injury and not getting stalwart production so far from the backfield.
Yeah, I don't want to see that one. That would be a headache for sure.
Kansas City, obviously, sounds like, you know, you could probably stand to help Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit.
I think that's a great fit. I think it's a good fit for Bell. You have a shot to win a Super Bowl. And Edwards-Helaire has been fine. I think he's playing good. I mean, the volume they've put on that kid is massive. He's like, what, top five in carries and targets at running back? I mean, he's played fine. He just hasn't scored touchdowns, so people are down on him in fantasy. He's played well, but that's a lot of workload in that offense for him. So I think that's a good fit for both sides. But if you add Edwards-Helaire, you're not going to like that too much.
And then for those that are unfamiliar with Miami, it's an incredible city. Ridiculously great weather. fun place to be for a young 20-something like Le'Veon Bell. I'm not saying that's the only reason why, but it's we always talk about this in NBA free agency. Some of the cities that have an inherent built-in advantage include Miami. So if we have an update, we'll obviously report it.
I have a lot of Myles Gaskin, though, on my fantasy team, so yeah. I'm going to pretend that's a bad situation for him.
But it will make sense, too, from a football standpoint for Bell in this regard. The team has already made Jordan Howard a healthy scratch last week, right? So it's not like they are super enthused by what he's done. And Matt Breida, as we know, has been customarily best suited in his career when playing a part-time role. He change of pace back feels like a pretty accurate description for Matt Breida.
And Myles Gaskin's been solid, but you know, I would imagine they'll probably prefer Bell there, probably.
And I believe Bell has a house in Miami, too, which probably should be noted. I think he's worked out there in the past during the offseason. So.
Well, anyway, we'll see where he lands.
Yeah. So let's get to Stefania now. And I apologize for talking a ton. Not what I always love to do. But Stefania, let's get to you. And I wanted to, before we move on to Noah Fant, wanted to gauge, and Mike gave us a solid scouting report on Philip Lindsay's prospects. Are we concerned at all by the toe anymore, like any lingering impact? He had turf toe to begin the season.
Well, he looked great in the last week of practice and was fully ready to go. So I think based on where he was, he's only gotten a little bit of extra rest time. So I think you can feel really good about Lindsay. I would introduce a third scenario. You guys talked about Melvin Gordon either suiting up or sitting out. There's the possibility that he suits up and is forced to watch a lot from the sideline. So they're not happy, as you might expect. But I would say that's not out of the realm of possibilities, which makes it trickier for fantasy purposes. But either way, I don't expect him to do much if he indeed plays at all. Wow. And they feel really good about where Philip Lindsay is.
Okay, that is encouraging on Philip Lindsay and makes things slightly more complicated with Melvin Gordon if he does, in fact, play on Sunday, or at least dress on Sunday. But the major injury in that Broncos offense, Stefania, well, there's two of them.
Yeah.
Noah Fant is the one that has most fantasy relevance, but his quarterback as well. What do you know on Noah Fant and Drew Lock?
Well, Drew Lock, I think, will be playing this week. He will start unless for some reason he has a setback with his shoulder. He's been looking good in practice, making the throws, and they expect to have him under center this week. Noah Fant dealing with that ankle sprain that they haven't called a high ankle sprain, but it certainly sounds like it. Just got to his first practice yesterday, was limited. I've heard that he looked okay, but hasn't really tested a lot. Thursday, big day for him. We'll see what he's able to do today.
Okay, that'd be really interesting. I'd love to see this offense have all the young skill guys on the field at the same time. It has not been a great start for the Broncos offense so far this season. The Buccaneers, Stefania, they played last Thursday night, so anytime you play on Thursday night, the team sort of slides off our radar a little bit, but they are back now at practice, and they're playing the Packers on Sunday, a game where they're going to need to be able to score a lot of points. They've got a lot of injuries. Can you walk us through where players are at now?
Right. It's like their wide receiver core is this rotating carousel of injury situations. And Chris Godwin, the most significant injury right now, I think, talking about the hamstring issue that's caused him to miss two games. He was back out in practice doing limited work. They said from the outset multiple weeks, so you just don't know where he stands yet. Until he tested a little bit more in practice, we're not going to have a really good idea about how he looks coming into the weekend. Mike Evans did not practice yesterday, but he didn't practice at all last week, and he still played roughly 85% of the snaps. Now, he didn't look great. If you're watching the things I'm watching, it's not like he's moving a lot, but he doesn't need to still be fantasy productive. So I think Mike Evans would likely play, even if you don't see much out of him in practice. Scotty Miller also banged up, but he's out there on a limited basis. Who else did I miss? Leonard Fournette, who I think that is really a big question for them, is whether he'll be available. He's just doing very, very little right now.
Okay, so maybe more Ronald Jones, and felt like Le'Veon Bell was speculated to go to Tampa Bay, or really be a suitor. Clearly that is, or supposedly that will not happen. By the way, this is a great note I just saw from Rich Cimini. We mentioned that the three finalists for Le'Veon Bell services are the Dolphins and the Bills and the Chiefs. The Jets' next three opponents, the Dolphins and the Bills and the Chiefs.
No way.
That's hilarious. And it's amazing. It's definitely a coincidence, but it's also hilarious.
So wherever he lands that week, he will have 37 touches,
that's right,
212 yards.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know what? I just want to jump in and say, if you need an amusing Twitter follow who's also really, really good at reporting, Rich Cimini. I mean, the poor guy has found more creative ways to cover the Jets over the last number of years. He's posted some incredible tweets this week if you want to have a little fun.
Rich has been around the block with the Jets for a long time. He is tapped in like few are covering any team. We love Rich, and that right there is a great tweet. All right, so Stefania, you gave us the Buccaneers. The other side of that game is the Packers, and I follow him on Twitter now because he's a great injury update expert. That, of course, being Devontae Adams.
Right.
But I'm not going to follow him on Twitter for what I heard yesterday. Are we trending in the right direction here with that hamstring issue?
Oh, yes. I think he told you on Twitter last week that he was ready to go, but that others apparently knew his body better than he did. And, you know, when he was asked about it, he said he pulled the tweet down. No one asked him to. He just decided that wasn't the smartest thing, and he didn't want to be a distraction to his team. Good for him. However, it did let us know that he was not going to be playing, and then they had the bye week. So that extra time of rest can only have helped him. Full go in practice. Devontae Adams will be there.
Okay, that's excellent news for Devontae Adams and the Green Bay Packers, who seem to be trending not just upwards on the injury side, just like in general. The team is on fire right now. Aaron Rodgers has yet to throw an interception. My major, major, like, hard-hitting analysis is that if Devontae Adams plays, I'm going to start him on Sunday.
Start him.
Okay.
Mike
Clay just confirmed it. Stefania, Christian McCaffrey, the best player in fantasy football when healthy, is eligible to return as soon as this Sunday. Do you expect to see him out there?
No. And it's based on what happened yesterday when Matt Rhule said that they are not activating him as of right now. Now, McCaffrey dealing with that right high ankle sprain, he's been out since he injured it, so several weeks now, and he was supposed to go through further evaluation, meet with some medical personnel to determine what the next steps were and whether he could be activated. The fact that those things happened and they decided not to activate him right now tells you that he definitely needs some more time. So I don't think when you say that on Wednesday, you're suddenly activating him on Friday or Saturday. So I'd be surprised if that happens. And we talked about this earlier this week, that it's one thing to feel good just walking around, even running or doing some conditioning, but it's another to get out there and do football work. And so I think, given the time they've given him so far, why would they rush him? And obviously Mike Davis is carrying the load for them.
He is. And one thing, and this is my opinion, Stefania, and having talked to some coaches around the league about this, is that you may see players activated or return to practice in a given week and not be activated to the 53-man roster or even play on Sunday. With such a limited training camp this year, players are in a different level of football shape than they have been in years past. And the reason why I mention this is that if Christian McCaffrey's practice window were to open at some point next week, we'd have to pay very close attention to either the injury reports on Friday or maybe the potential of him being activated to the roster on Saturday, because the team may say to itself, yes, he's getting really close, but we want to get him 4 or 5 days of practice before he actually returns. Do you think I'm off in suggesting that could be the case?
You're totally right, because there's a couple things. One is everything you mentioned about just the level of physical conditioning, the altered preseason, et cetera. And the other is the context of COVID-19 and the fact that we're seeing players move up and down, activate, deactivate, teams shutting facilities and then opening back up. That affects the routine and the training. You know, the point you could make around this, case in point, is A.J. Brown. This was a really tough one to read because he'd been out with a bone bruise and he hadn't done really anything in practice. He'd done some work on the side. Then they closed the facility. And to hear A.J. Brown talk about it afterward, he said when everything was closed, he went out, took himself to a field and ran routes. And that was his way of testing what he knew he'd be asked to do in practice. Well, we didn't know that before the game. But he also said he didn't expect to be used as much as he was. So coming off a bone bruise without any practice, you would normally think, limited use. But they were down two wide receivers due to the reserve COVID-19 list. And then you had A.J. Brown, who'd communicated with his team in a different way that we just never saw, that he was running routes and testing it. So they felt comfortable as he worked well in the game and obviously got a lot more usage than any of us expected.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really cool. So I hope that whenever Christian McCaffrey returns, he does his best A.J. Brown impression and returns with a vengeance and with like 25 fantasy points. One more piece of news here to pass along is that Cam Newton has been activated from reserve COVID-19. Now, he's going to have to beat out Brian Hoyer to start on Sunday, Mike.
But I don't know if he's going to get past Jared Stidham, though. I mean, it's going to be a tough battle. What do you think? Do you think he gets him?
I could, you know, Hoyer, veteran, savvy.
But Stidham could be the next Tom Brady.
That's a good point, yeah.
Did you read the tweets in the offseason, Phil?
I have the Twitter machine, Mike. So anyways, good news, though. Really good news, obviously, for Cam. And so I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole of COVID-19, but it was logical in terms of the time frame of an asymptomatic individual that he was basically out for 10 days. And great news for the Patriots, who also have a chance to get Stephon Gilmore back as soon as today for practice. The Patriots, of course, as we have talked about, hosting the Broncos on Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. You know, Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance?
I have no idea.
You switch to GEICO during GEICO-ween.
Of course.
October is GEICO's favorite time of year, and the folks over at GEICO have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to GEICO isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No eye of newt needed, Field. Happy GEICO-ween, everybody.
Happy GEICO-ween to you as well, Daniel. As everybody who listens to this podcast know, Mike Clay is the author of what we are now calling the Shadow Report. He is the OG of wide receiver cornerback matchups. Often imitated, never duplicated.
Why, thank you.
Seriously, I mean, I think it's incredible work that Mike does. Mike is one of our machines here at ESPN. I think about people like him and Bill Barnwell, who produces much good content for ESPN on a weekly basis as perhaps anybody at the network. We appreciate all of your efforts, Mike. And let's get into the wide receiver cornerback matchups for week six that you have your eyes on. And let's begin with the Miami Dolphins. Things looking up or down for Preston Williams and Devontae Parker?
Yeah, well, first of all, this team as a whole doing better than expected.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, obviously, they cleaned house last season. A lot of additions this offseason. I thought they were a year away, but they're actually better than the record, I think, so far this season. But obviously, a part of their success is a pretty good wide receiver duo, Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, and they're in a good situation. And that's really big news because they haven't really lived up to expectations in fantasy so far, especially Preston Williams. But this week against the Jets, Pierre Desir and Bless Austin on the other side. Actually, if Austin has missed two games, if he's out, Lamar Jackson, the other Lamar Jackson, the undrafted corner, would be his replacement. So, look, if you just look at the numbers, what, you all right there?
Lamar Jackson plays for the Jets now?
Yes. You didn't hear about that? He converted to corner.
Yeah.
He's been a disappointment in fantasy, so everyone just cut him, and he's just like, I'll just play corner now for the Jets. So.
Oh, got it. I didn't hear that part.
So it's a different Lamar Jackson, to be clear. It's,
oh, okay,
it's
got it.
Actually a different Lamar Jackson. People can have the same name. Like, I was just talking to a Field Yates the other day, and it wasn't you. And,
weird.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe you.
I think that's a lie. Yeah,
that's a lie. There's nobody named Field Yates. But anyway, the Jets, if you just look at the numbers, which, you know, I do that sometimes, they're mid-pack against wide receivers, right? So it doesn't seem like a great matchup, but they've had a pretty light schedule, crushed by the Bills, Broncos, and Cardinals. They haven't faced much volume. It's against the Colts and 49ers. They have allowed, this is kind of a new stat I'm looking at. This kind of goes into what you and I have talked about in the past, where, you know, you don't want to get too married to the numbers early in the season because the schedule matters, right? It's such a small sample that's an impact. So I'm looking at fantasy points allowed over expected, right? So
okay.
If teams aren't throwing to the tight end, obviously you're not going to allow many fantasy points to the Patriots tight ends or the Bills tight ends, right? That kind of
thing
matters. So they've allowed 40 points over expected. That's third highest. So they kind of quietly have been bad against that position. So anyway, Parker and Williams line up on the perimeter. They have a great matchup.
Okay, that's good to know. It's, I look forward to that stat. Mike has put together some of the most useful stats. OTD is one of my favorites that helps me know when a guy is, you know, you can be optimistic about Clyde Edwards-Helaire going forward, or you can be nervous about someone like, I don't want to say nervous about Chase Claypool, but you can understand that he has made the most of his limited opportunities, and that might be hard to keep up going forward. The Jets are certainly a mess defensively, so you like the matchup there. And Fitzmagic, baby. Fitzmagic, one of my favorite Week 6 streaming quarterbacks. Another one here, Mike, is the Giants defensively. They're bad, right? You're not worried about Terry McLaurin, are you?
I am, because they spent on a pretty good corner in the offseason, yeah. James Bradberry. And actually, believe it or not, the Giants have allowed the seventh fewest fantasy points to wide receivers.
No kidding.
So they've been pretty good, or to the perimeter, I should say. They've kind of got beat up in the slot, which I'll get to in a second. But outside, they've been good, and a big part of that is Bradberry. Look, he has shadowed Allen Robinson, Kendrick Bourne, and Amari Cooper in three of his five games so far. He only shadows on the perimeter. And the stat lines are interesting. This is why this matchup's so intriguing. Allen Robinson, in that game in which he was shadowed by Bradberry, 8 targets, 2 catches, 16 yards, no touchdowns in that game. That's not just against him. That's in that whole game. One of his only duds you'll see from an Allen Robinson. Kendrick Bourne had 4 for 63 in that game. Amari Cooper, if you started him last week, you know he didn't do much. Why? He was shadowed by James Bradberry, 2 catches, 23 yards on 4 targets. In total this season, he's allowed 174 yards on 154 coverage snaps. So it's a really tough matchup. But again, Terry McLaurin is lined up in the slot 28% of the time this season. So he'll see Bradberry on the outside. He won't see him much in the slot. He'll be up against, I believe he's drafted in the fourth round, Darnay Holmes.
Yep.
He has struggled. They've allowed a lot to the slot. So he'll escape. He'll probably see a few targets on them routes. Could potentially bail out his week, but it is a tough matchup overall. I would stay away from him in daily fantasy.
And by the way, more Kyle Allen expected under center for the Washington football team on Sunday. Stefania talked about how A.J. Brown fought through pain and came back and played awesome on Tuesday night, Mike. How about the matchup on Sunday against the Texans?
Yeah, another tricky one. There's only one corner who has shadowed in all five games this season. One. Do you know who it is?
I was going to guess.
Probably the guy in Houston, right, that he's facing? Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I was going to say Stephon Gilmore. That would have been a bad guess.
Oh, it is not. Well, they haven't played five games.
I would guess Bradley Roby.
Dang it.
Daniel,
you're so smart.
What? That? Great job.
Yes.
You must have been doing research. So it is Bradley Roby, of course. Tyreek Hill, Marquise Brown, Deontay Johnson, who left hurt in that game, Adam Thielen, DJ Chark. So he shadowed him, shadowed those five guys so far. Pretty tough competition. Those five, when lined up against Roby on 79 routes, 15 targets, 10 catches, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. So he's done a really nice job. I will say Thielen and Hill ended up with pretty good fantasy days. They got away from Roby at times. Again, that's sometimes something you have to deal with. You could downgrade guys, but sometimes, as I just talked about with McLaurin, a guy will escape to the slot. I mentioned that because A.J. Brown lines up outside 89% of the time, so he's probably not going to get away from Roby. Maybe a play or two, but probably not much. A.J. Brown did do very well against Houston last season, had 2 huge games, but he was not shadowed. He barely saw Roby in those games. This is a different situation.
Yeah.
So we're going to downgrade him against Roby. I will say, though,
I wonder if they'll be careful shadowing with a Roby against A.J. Brown because it's such a physical mismatch. Roby is like a speed purist, right?
Yeah.
Like, and A.J. Brown obviously is like DK Metcalf light.
That's fair. I think you're right because, I mean, Tyreek, Brown, Chark, very fast players. Deontay Johnson's in there. Adam Thielen, you know, I guess that makes sense. He was the one. I think he'll shadow him.
Yeah, I just wonder if he'll have more success than some of the other speed guys.
That's a fair point.
And again,
I'm not saying even bench Brown. Maybe, again, DFS cash games, they stay away. But it's notable mostly because I think that, you know, 2 weeks ago we talked about Roby shadowing and we said Justin Jefferson should benefit with Thielen covered by Roby, and he had a big game. Last week, we said Laviska Shenault should be upgraded because he's going to be on DJ Chark, and he had his best game. So this week, I think Corey Davis, if he's back off the COVID list of plays, I know Adam Humphries was active. I don't think Davis has been yet. If he plays, he could be a deep sleeper this week. And again, maybe a guy you consider off of him missing a game in DFS. So just an interesting thing to keep an eye on, kind of a funnel to number two receivers in this Titans offense.
Sure. How about this? One more here for Baltimore. And I want to see if maybe they can throw a trade in here for a second that Daniel will be okay with me asking about. But before we ask about that, Ravens, Hollywood Brown, Darius Slay has been awesome for the Eagles. Does that mean that you need to maybe be a little bit more cautious? Brown's coming off a very productive game this past week.
He is. And look, Hollywood is so explosive that I don't want to get too carried away here. And we also know that Darius Slay is plenty targeted. We actually saw that last week. The Steelers went at him often. Now, he was going to shadow Deontay Johnson as he had Terry McLaurin and A.J. Green earlier this season. Neither of those guys did very well against him. But, you know, he was shadowing him on the first few plays. Deontay Johnson left injured, and then he kind of just played his side. And Big Ben just kept going at him, going at him, going at him. But on 29 coverage snaps, he allowed 47 yards. So even though he was heavily targeted, he did not allow much in coverage. Hollywood Brown lines up outside 75% of the time. He's going to be on Slay quite a bit. But again, he'll escape about a quarter of his routes, and he's so explosive that it could take one play for him to get open deep and score a touchdown. By the way, the Eagles allowing the seventh most fantasy points to receivers this season, the seventh most to the slot. So if you're feeling bold, if you're feeling super bold, maybe again in a daily fantasy Millie Maker or tournament, maybe Miles Boykin or Willie Snead or Devin Duvernay are on your radar. Maybe, you know, they're just way off the wall. I don't think in 10-team or 12-team leagues you're going to start those guys, but just keep that in mind. Away from Slay, they have really struggled.
I got a second cousin who listens to this podcast religiously. He's like such an engaged fantasy football player. It's awesome. Him and I are texting frequently because he's all in on everything. He's part of the Scott Fish Bowl this year. He's big time. He just sent me this, just a trade proposal. Be curious to see. Shout out Griffey. Your thoughts on this trade. And Stefania can probably help us here too because there's a player involved that has an injury. What do you think on this one? His Kareem Hunt and Terry McLaurin, we just talked about from the matchup standpoint, for Julio Jones and Robert Woods, he needs wide receivers and he needs a win this week. So, Stefania, put you on the spot here a little bit, but Julio, did he practice yesterday?
I don't think that he did, but you are putting me on the spot. I have to check my notes.
He did not practice.
I don't think he did.
He did not practice yesterday. Sorry.
And the other thing is, I would still be nervous about this just given... Well, now you've got a complicating factor potentially with them closing the facility.
Yeah.
I just don't know with Julio. This hamstring issue is more concerning to me given sort of the pattern of what happened over the last 2 weeks.
All right. So if you need a win, it might be hard with obviously Julio potentially not being available. Mike, what do you think on this one? Again, it's Kareem Hunt, Terry McLaurin for Julio and Robert Woods.
And I have to stick with the Hunt McLaurin side.
Yeah, I think
so too.
First of
all, I'm not super pumped about Julio. I'm hoping he's not going to fall off now. You know, his efficiency was down last season. His volume was still good. Are we trending down with Julio? You know, is Ridley taken as the one over as the one? Are we going the wrong direction? That makes me a little bit nervous. I still think he'll be okay this year once he's healthy, but there's a lot of mitigating factors, including the health, that push me kind of away. Terry McLaurin, I think, is emerging into a star, and he's going to see a ton of volume in that offense. I feel good about him. And Kareem Hunt, at least till Nick Chubb's back, is a top five fantasy running back. I mean, that is a huge asset to have. And you can go 3-0 on the back of him until Nick Chubb comes back. I would hate to give that up. Keep shopping. I think you're close, but I would keep shopping.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too. And I agree with holding off on this trade, but Griffey now will text off mic and maybe work through some other iterations of a comparable trade. Let's get back to some week 6 wide receiver rankings. But before we do, I just want to give an update that Shefty tweeted moments ago, I should say, is that the Vikings-Falcons game, as of right now, it's 10:37 on my watch, remains on as scheduled. So as we mentioned, it's still smart to plan for contingencies all over your roster. But as of this moment, no need to make plans for potentially benching Todd Gurley or Alexander Mattison or any of the Vikings and Falcons.
That's probably
players.
A 1 o'clock game, right? Sunday?
Believe so.
Worst
Believe
case,
so.
It's 4, but yep. Again, you have time to plan for that. It's not like we're talking about a Monday night game where yep. you need to worry too much. We have some time there.
But things are good as of right now. All right, let's get to some week 6 rankings. And Mike, of course, one of the many ways you are a workhorse for us here at ESPN is you set the projections. And that's super useful, not just for those of us that like to look at their matchups before they're actually played, but those of us who do rankings. You are the foundation of our rankings in a lot of ways. So let's get into some of the Cowboys that are ranked and where they are ranked with no Dak Prescott under center. How much confidence do you have in Amari Cooper, I suppose CeeDee Lamb, and also Michael Gallup this week?
Yeah, before we do that, can we talk a little bit about just the offense in general? Is that okay?
Yeah,
just kind of what this means, right, to switch to Andy Dalton, because I think this is something that needs to be said, and it's the fact that the offensive production as a whole for this Cowboys offense has been inflated in a big way by a several variables. Obviously, Dak playing well, them being forced to throw the ball. That's one of the big ones because they've been ahead on 6% of their offensive snaps this season. They've been forced to throw the football so often. But think about this. The Dak offense so far has supported the number 3 scoring fantasy running back, the number 8, 11, and 33 wide receivers, and the number 12 tight end.
Amazing.
That's unbelievable. But what has it taken to do that? This is what they've needed. 75 snaps a game. The NFL average is 64 or 65, depending on the year. That's a huge gap. 68% pass rate, extremely pass heavy. 3.8 offensive touchdowns per game, which again is a huge number. That's like peak Drew Brees era in New Orleans sort of scoring. And they've trailed on 80% of their offensive snaps. All of those are top 5 in the league. That's what they have needed to get those sort of numbers. The snaps, the pass rate, the touchdowns, we all expect to drop with Andy Dalton, whether it's regression or Andy Dalton replacing Dak. I think that's something that on the surface needs to be said, that overall production will be down. That being said, the skill position players here are so good that I think Andy Dalton's probably worth adding to your bench, right? I don't think he's going to be a QB1, but with this supporting cast, it's very possible. So he's worth that lottery ticket just in case everything I just said is wrong and they manage to just keep rolling and they have to throw. It's really interesting.
I think the bind in evaluating him as a QB1 is that there are enough quarterbacks that have been playing great so far this season, like the Mahomes and the Russell Wilsons and the Josh Allens. And then there are others that haven't yet held up their end of the bargain, like a Lamar Jackson, maybe to a degree Deshaun Watson, that it would be hard for you to roster both Deshaun Watson and Andy Dalton, or both, you know, Lamar Jackson and Andy Dalton, being like, yeah, I'm going to play Andy Dalton over one of those two guys, right? But I'm with you. I think you should 100% be on benches in all leagues and potentially a starter in a 16 or 14 team league, especially as we get into more and more buys. Michael Gallup always confuses me, Mike, only because, you know, he has his moments and he is wide receiver 33 in terms of total points so far this year, but he has a hard time making the rankings weekly because he's so hit or miss.
Yeah, it's tough. He has a 12% target share, and this was my red flag. Actually, I believe you guys on the pod 2 weeks ago, I think Matthew had like a call to action to attack me on social media about Michael Gallup. Why am I so low on him? Why do I hate him? Because I just started getting flooded with all of these tweets.
That doesn't sound
it.
Like Matthew.
Not at all.
No, I was just like, I'm just going to sit back and relax and watch this play out this week. And sure enough, he just had a complete dud. And it's not a surprise because, as Matthew pointed out last week on the show, he's not getting target volume. And that is a huge issue. 12% target share is not going to cut it. There's number 3 and number 4 receivers that get that sometimes in this league. It's not going to cut it going forward. He had a 20% target share last season. Yes, he's the number 33 scoring fantasy receiver, but that most of that was in 1 week. His weekly finishes 57, 63, 81, 37, and the 7. So this is just not going to work. He's barely top 40 in targets right now. The targets have to go up. And I think there's hope. I think there's hope that maybe Andy Dalton likes to go to him, utilizes him more often, and he bounces back, but it's going to be tough. You know, can this offense support all of these weapons? I don't think so. Some people are going to fall out of favor here.
Okay, well, is one of them CeeDee Lamb? That's the question. Daniel believes no. Daniel has CeeDee Lamb ranked rather high this week. Daniel,
sure do.
State your case here.
So here's the thing. I went through to look at what CeeDee Lamb has done through the first 5 weeks of his rookie season, right?
Okay, yep.
So he's had 6+ targets in every single game. He's had double-digit points in every single game. Never had less than 10. So you love that floor as a rookie, right?
Yep.
He's also had 3 games over 17 points. So he has that ceiling that if things play out well, it was fantastic. Okay, so now I wanted to go back and look and see, like, did they just do that like you were talking about? Because they played a bunch of really, really crappy defenses. So they took on the Arizona Cardinals, right? When you look at who they're playing this week. They've taken on San Francisco. Their wide receivers are not great. Washington, I'm not that worried about it. Detroit, they didn't have Kenny Galladay. They took on Carolina and the New York Jets. So when I look at how this secondary has fared against wide receivers and what I've seen CeeDee Lamb do in the first 5 weeks of his career, like, I love him as a top 20 play this week. I'm all in on CeeDee Lamb. I think it continues. And I think that he's absolutely taken over, understanding that Amari Cooper is definitely like 1A. I don't think it's that far of a gap between almost like a 1B or a high-end number 2, and Gallup has fallen just that much farther behind those two guys.
It's hard for me to argue against CeeDee Lamb right now just based off of the talent in a ridiculous wide receiver class. And I get it. There might be others that have slightly more fantasy points amongst the rookie class.
Mm-hmm.
I think just like eyeball test, he looks like
so
the best
good.
Talent right now. Now, some of that's because he played with a better quarterback than someone like Jerry Jeudy, et cetera, but he is awesome. That much is for sure. I want to ask you about David Montgomery, Mike, because I made the case, I think on yesterday's podcast, like he feels to me like probably one of the bottom five starting running backs in terms of like average ability in the NFL, like in terms of guys that are actually getting lots of workload. But there are those in Chicago who would passionately argue that this has very little to do with David Montgomery and a whole lot to do with a very soft offensive line in the running game, which now lost another starter in James Daniels. Do you think that David Montgomery can cash in on what on paper is an excellent matchup on Sunday?
I do. Volume wins, right? Volume is king. We say it all the time. In time, volume is more important than efficiency. It's just going to lead to more sustained production. And here's the thing. We wondered when Tariq Cohen went out for the season, what would happen to David Montgomery? Would he just stick to his current role in Cordarrelle Patterson, or they bring someone else in to handle passing situations? What would happen? The answer is more David Montgomery. He has played 83% of their offensive snaps over the past 2 weeks. He had 10 carries each of the past 2 weeks in the two games without Cohen, but he faced the Colts and the Buccaneers. I mean, last week on the show, I said he was going to have another game just like the Colts game. No rushing efficiency. We have to count on his passing game work increasing, but the Colts and Bucs are maybe the two best run-stopping teams in the league. They're certainly in the top five, so we expected that low-end efficiency as a rusher. But the volume's not going anywhere. He's still going to get most of the carries, and against average or poor run defense, he's going to be more productive. He set a career high 2 weeks ago in targets with 6. He set another career high last week with 8. So he's being used in that department more than he ever has in his career, much like Joe Mixon the past couple of weeks, how they're throwing to him more. That's huge for fantasy. And here's the most important thing about this week. The Panthers, they're selling out to stop the pass, I guess. They've been better than expected against the pass. They're not stopping the run at all. And Kaymon Short's out for the season now, right?
Yeah, so he is.
It gets even worse. They've allowed the most fantasy points to running backs, the most touchdowns with 9 already, the 4th most yards, and the most receptions, which again, comes in handy here. As we mentioned, he's being used more in that department. So Montgomery, if this is a competitive game, could have 25 touches in this game. He could catch 6 passes, have 17 or 18 carries, and be the top scoring fantasy running back. It's all there for him. The opportunity is right there for him if they don't somehow sneak in there and sign Le'Veon Bell, which, by the way, seems like one of the best fits, maybe the best fit for Bell, but it doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
It does not sound like it's going to happen. You know what I'm going to do, Daniel? If Montgomery has a dud on Sunday, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to call Mike Clay up on FaceTime.
Yep.
I'm going to say, you better FaceTime pick up right now. I'm going to go, ew, David.
Ew, David.
For those that are not watching right now live, Mike Clay is rocking a shirt of all shirts today. Great. Hey, stand up and show the masses what you're working with. Or, yeah, there you go. Maybe you got to stand up a little bit. For those unacquainted with the great Schitt's Creek, when I say award-winning, like basically every award they won.
They won every Emmy.
Every Emmy. Almost literally every Emmy.
It was the first sweep ever.
Yeah, it's amazing.
First sweep ever in Emmys, yeah. So.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Daniel's middle name is David, so I felt it appropriate.
Where'd you find that shirt? Online? On the Amazon?
I did some searching on the Amazon. There's a lot of, I believe, a Schitt's Creek store now. So you can go buy some stuff too, some other versions of this, but...
great show.
What a fantastic show.
Phenomenal. So, go watch it if you haven't already, or go rewatch it if you already have.
But yeah, appropriate saying a lot of good things about David Montgomery wearing an Ew David shirt. That's probably not
David.
A good omen.
Anyway. Time now for IBM Smart Lineup Decisions, and I have a player that I mentioned just a little while ago who is back. His name is Cam Newton, and I've got Cam Newton as a top 5 quarterback play this week. And, you know, with Cam, there are probably... innumerable stats that you could use to support the case for Cam as a top 5 quarterback play. Sometimes it's just going to be what's most likely to happen based off of a 10-year sample size with Cam, right? And if he has shown anything through these 3 starts that he has had, it's that he is very much still an elite fantasy quarterback. Might be, I think, in some ways, looks like an elite real quarterback as well. The answer to the Patriots' question about how they would replace Tom Brady. He's been a top 6 quarterback in 2 of his 3 starts. He's been the best goal line runner on their roster and one of the best goal line runners probably in football again this year. And if you look at how the Broncos have shaped up defensively this year, they've just been so decimated by injuries in the front 7. Not just Von Miller, Draymond Jones, one of their starting defensive tackles. He's on IR. They placed linebackers on IR. They have been all sorts of banged up on that front seven, which leads me to believe the Patriots are going to adopt a similar game plan that they did against the Raiders when we last saw them play at home, which was run the ball for 250 yards if they can. And I think Cam Newton cashes in with a rushing touchdown on Sunday.
Yeah, I like it. I thought this was really kind of a funny thing when I was looking this up here. Cam right now, third. Now, keep in mind, most quarterbacks have played five games
right.
So far. Cam is third at quarterback and carries, fourth in rushing yards, second in rushing touchdowns. It's only appeared in three games, yeah. And one of those didn't go too well. So how about that? That's interesting. By the way, Denver, seventh most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, and they allowed a 6-carry, 84, one-touchdown rushing performance to Sam Darnold. Remember that game?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And now you get Cam Newton. That's going to be a little tougher. So
right.
I'm with you. I mean, I have him ranked a little lower, but he's a starter.
Yeah, I mean, Cam also, he has two touchdown passes on 91 attempts this season. Again, as Mike was saying at the beginning of the show, like still small sample size early in the year. He's played three games. In one game, N'Keal Harry fumbled the ball at the 6-inch line. If he just has, you know, a little bit more of a go-go gadget arm, he's got three touchdown passes. And then Cam in the Seattle game, I understand that it was a rushing attempt, but if he hurdles just a little bit higher, he has yet another rushing touchdown. And we might be talking about Cam as the number one quarterback in fantasy this week with Russell Wilson on a bye. And well, I guess maybe that Buffalo defense isn't quite as scary as it was last year for Patrick Mahomes to face. All right, so great stuff there in the rankings. But then before we turn to a few social questions, nope, other stuff. Never mind, I'll get to that in a second. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about ADT, because whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in security. ADT expert installers average 10 plus years of experience. We want you to be happy with your ADT service. That's why we provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. Protect now, pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? I mean, these days everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time, and everyone knows nothing good comes from hustling. You've got work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill. And that's right, it's Coors. Watching football is therapeutic to fans. It is uninterrupted me time, an excuse to just chill and drink beer. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or team, just to drink beer. Mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. Made to chill, and it's made to celebrate with responsibly. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. Perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is literally the beer you need when you need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com from Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And please, don't forget to celebrate responsibly.
I wanted to clean one thing up as I'm sitting here looking at Cam Newton's projections for Sunday. 18.7 points. I think he's going to boom on Sunday over Mike's 18.7 point projection. And a reminder that IBM smart lineup decisions are informed by IBM Watson. All right, now we can move forward to a couple more injury updates and potential returns. So, Stefania, Zach Moss has been out for a couple of games now for the Buffalo Bills. They play on Monday night against the Chiefs. Do you think he'll return for this huge, huge AFC matchup?
I feel like he could. Look, it's been tough to read. I mean, he was injured a long time ago. He's out week three. Practiced on a limited basis week four, still didn't play, and kind of upgraded at the end of last week to a full practice on Saturday. So he thought he had a chance to go, ends up being inactive. Obviously, with it being Monday night, we don't have an injury practice report yet for this week. But given the fact that he's been able to do a little bit of work for a couple of weeks and still not made it into a game, it sounds like he has a ways to go. The other thing is, even if he is active, you've got to be a little bit concerned about what he's going to look like that first game back after being out so long. And obviously, this is one of those cases where a toe injury is really tough for a running back. And obviously, it's kept him out for nearly a month now.
Mike, if he plays, what does that mean for Devin Singletary, who had a fairly low rushing efficiency this past Tuesday night against the Titans?
Yeah, I'm already a little concerned with Singletary because they worked T.J. Yeldon into that offense last week, right? They reduced Singletary's workload, added to T.J. Yeldon. Also, there's chatter maybe Le'Veon Bell picks that destination. So at least for this week, though, I think Singletary, he's 21st on my board. Singletary is. The Chiefs have really struggled against running backs, the second most scrimmage yards allowed to that position. So it's actually a good matchup. I think that he could still fire him up as a flex option in 10-team leagues. Moss just should be on benches for now.
Hey, Stefania, I want to ask you quickly on Le'Veon Bell. Based off your understanding, it would seem to me that if Le'Veon Bell picked a team as soon as today, he still would feel like a long shot to play on Sunday, right? Given the COVID-19 protocols?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when they have like an entry for a new player, there right. is a more thorough process that's required. But I don't know, because he's been with an NFL team
gotcha.
And has been working out, that it's a little different than somebody who's coming off the street free agent.
Okay, gotcha.
So he's been going through testing as part of that.
Okay, I won't put words in your mouth then. So we'll keep, you know, if he were to make a decision, he's on the practice field on Thursday or whenever he's on the practice field, we'll have a better update there. But something to keep in mind that maybe even if he signs this week, he won't be active on Sunday or Monday. It's time now for a couple of Geico social questions of the day, at which point we pass it over to Daniel Dopp, who is debuting his ponytail today.
Wow. You didn't have to tell all the listeners that I
they
had a ponytail.
They can see it.
Well, if they're viewing the, you know, the video product,
it
I thought I
great.
Would find out, you know? Like every once in a while, you just want to look a little fancy and you dress up.
I think
nice.
It looks awesome.
This would have been a perfect chance to go, ew, David, but yeah. I didn't because, you know, it looks good, man.
Oh, I appreciate you guys.
I didn't even do it. I want to be.
Aw, thank you so much. Stefania, anything you want to add real quick before we get into social questions?
Okay, I just want to point out that in the pre-show, I commented on it and I got zero replies.
Wait, you commented on it? I didn't even hear.
See, you tuned me out.
No, I didn't say it must have
I did.
Been.
I made a big deal out of it.
Matthew's
Somebody
influence
in
is felt
room.
Every day around here.
I feel so bad. I'm sorry, Stefania. All right, let's get to some social questions. First one comes from @LegalPaddyWagon wants to know, is DJ Chark matchup dependent for the rest of the season?
I would say no. It's not matchup dependent. It's how Gardner Minshew feels in a given week. Like he had one game of great volume. I don't know that it had anything to do with the matchup. And then he's got four games of minimal volume.
Yeah, Minshew was his quarterback most of last season. He was pretty good. I think he'll be okay eventually, but he's a good matchup against the Lions this week, so we're going to fire him up. So for now, just start him, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, next one comes from Ian Bartow. Do you think that Mike Davis's performance has earned him a chance to cut into CMC's touches?
You first.
Saturday morning, we have a column where I ask all of our NFL Nation reporters, 32 of them, a question about each team, and I asked David Newton that exact question this week, so before I even saw this. So we'll have an answer from David Newton at least Saturday morning if you have ESPN Plus. My thought on that is that no, I don't think there's any chance. Maybe one or two touches at most. McCaffrey, his efficiency is better. Davis' volume has been great. He's the number one scoring fantasy running back, but McCaffrey's a better player, and they paid him a lot of money. He's going to be the guy.
I'll throw this to Stefania. That it's one thing to return from an ankle injury, but are there lingering? Or would you be concerned if you were the person that was making the decision for the Panthers that, hey, just because we're bringing Christian back, we still have to err on the side of caution here going forward?
I think, especially with a high ankle sprain, something that's kept him out this long, it's hard to imagine him going from 0 to 100 the first game back. Now, sometimes it's really dependent on how the athlete looks and feels during the course of the game. They can sort of say, well, you know, we'll probably spot you here and here. But if he's running well and having no issues, then he ends up getting a full workload. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's easing him back in for a week or so and seeing how he responds.
Okay.
You know, everybody does it a little bit differently.
Right.
But that type of injury, again, there's no real way to really test it until you get into the game.
You know, last year, I remember Saquon came back from a high ankle sprain, and he basically became the same player he was in terms of volume during his rookie season. He wasn't quite as efficient, but the workload was very, very solid. That being said, the Giants didn't have a player playing like Mike Davis is playing right now for Carolina. Daniel, what else?
It's just really tough. I just want to say this. It feels so tough to, like, watch him play so unbelievably well filling in and then have it be like, you know, You can't find a way to get him out there. But it's CMC. Like, that's the thing.
And we have precedence for this with D'Angelo Williams with Le'Veon Bell, right?
He's
the number one scoring fantasy running back multiple times.
Yep.
Went right back to playing, barely even seeing the field.
Maybe if I'm the Panthers, I might, maybe, you know, the trade deadline's November 3rd. Maybe trade Mike Davis.
The
have
Bears
some value.
Waived him last year.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, I remember.
Running backs.
Revenge game on Sunday, baby.
All right. This one comes from E.M. Groover wants to know, what should we make of Tyler Higbee? Can we cut him?
So, yes, you can cut him.
Yep.
Now, I don't know that there is an obvious replacement player available to you at tight end that is a, you know, a clear upgrade every single week. I think you have to accept that there's going to be a fickle nature to tight end unless you have Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or George Kittle. Maybe Zach Ertz if things get back on track. He is cuttable, yes, but there aren't a lot of guys that are clear upgrades.
Yeah, he's a tight end too. You can cut him. I was wrong on him. I thought he would still be a tight end one. Comparing the final five games of last season when he was an elite tight end compared to the first five games of this season, routes have dropped from 69% to 48%, targets from 28% to 12%, air yards from 28% to 13%. He's seeing 3 to 4 targets a game. It's not enough. He's not a tight end one.
Man, crazy how things can change in less than one season. For Daniel and Stefania and Mike, I'm Field. We're back tomorrow to get you ready for week 6. We'll talk to you then. Peace out. You're in the 06 zone.